All right. Good morning. Good morning. So good to see all of you on this day. The one who has no rival, no equal, the one who the kingdom belongs to, that's who we're here to worship. So come on, let's bless the Lord with a hand clap of praise. Again, we are so grateful for each and every one of you that have showed up. Are we still offline, Steve? We're still offline there. I hope that they don't take it that I purposely did that this week. Based off of last week, but no, I am so grateful, though, to have all of you who have come so that we might fellowship one with another and lift up the name of Jesus in this place. At this time, we're going to have fifth grade and below. They can be dismissed, those who are serving in that area. If this is your first time visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. We're grateful for your presence today, and I pray that your being here will not prove to be in vain. Also, if this is your first time with us, I'm going to ask a favor of you. If you would, when we're done, not hurry out, at least give me an opportunity to greet you personally and at least shake your hand before you leave. And if you would do me that favor, I'd be grateful. All right. So last week when we were together, we looked into Genesis chapter 4, and we looked at the true narrative or the story of Cain and Abel. We noted that both of them, they brought offerings as a form of worship to God. But the text went on to say that God had regard for Abel and his offering, meaning that God accepted Abel's offering, but he had no regard for Cain in his offering. And we learn from the Hebrew author that the reason Abel's offering was acceptable versus Cain's because Abel's offering was offered in faith. And now we answer the question, what made Abel's offering an offering of faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so although there are no instructions included in the Genesis 4 account, God must have given them directions or details of the acceptable worship for them to know what to sacrifice. Therefore, Abel was shown as making an offering that was acceptable to God because he did it according to God's instructions, while Cain evidently came in his own way and he was rejected. And so last week, we were all challenged to consider how we come before God each Sunday, because the word says that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And in spirit means that you connect with God inwardly through his Holy Spirit. And in truth means that it's with reality of who God is, and according to the revelation he has given in his word. So what Cain wanted to, what God wanted Cain to do was adjust his understanding of what is good to God's understanding of goodness. And we would all do well to take heed of that. Proverbs 21 says this, a person may think that their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And we noted that Jesus' command through the Apostle Paul was for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, holy and pleasing to God. That's your spiritual service of worship. The NIV says it's your true and proper worship. So if Cain would have done well by God's standard, God would have accepted him. In other words, there was no reason for Cain to be angry because of God's rejection. All he had to do was do what was right in God, which was obedience, and God would have accepted him. But again, evidently him being set in his own ways, setting his own standards for what was acceptable, here's the warning that God gave him that's going to lead us to where we're going today. He tells Cain, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. Sin desires to own us. And our refusal to let God set the standard for what is right and wrong in our lives will only lead to further destruction. When God tells Cain that sin is crouching at your door, he was using an imagery of a wild, predatory animal just waiting outside to ambush Cain. So today, we're going to look in the New Testament, writing of 1 Peter, and just as in Genesis, it describes sin as a predator crouching at the door, waiting to pounce, in Peter, you're going to see Peter depict the devil as a wild predator actively hunting for prey that he can devour. And so we're going to explore some of that today. So if you have not already, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want you to look with me at verses 8 and 9. And once you have it, if you're able, please stand with the respect of reading of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9, only two verses, and we're going to let you go. If you did not bring a Bible, if you can look up on the screen behind me, it'll be in the same translation that I'm reading from, if you want to follow along there. The Word of God reads this way, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. I've titled the message for today, Be Sober, took it right out of the text, and on alert. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you today as the sovereign God to whom all praise belong. And God, we offer thanks in Jesus' name for all that you've done and what you're doing in our lives. We ask that you'll just bless this time together in your word by giving us ears to hear. Please show us, God, how to appropriately be biblically sober-minded and how to appropriately be biblical watchful today and in the days to come. Teach us how to do what your word says here before us now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seats. Be sober and on alert. So here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 here, Peter is addressing the work of Satan in our lives and how is it that we are to overcome his attacks. Now, in Genesis last week, we saw that sin's desire is to master and control us. Here in 1 Peter, the devil's intent is to devour us spiritually, to destroy the believer. Paul actually writes in Ephesians 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, it's against the authorities, it's against the powers of darkness of this world, against those evil forces in heavenly realms. So if you choose to ignore the reality of the devil and demons in this world, you run into the danger of being unprepared to stand against his schemes and his devices. And whether we choose to believe and accept it or not, every single one of us in here today, we're on a spiritual battlefield. And in these two verses, Peter is going to give us commands to help us overcome the attacks of the enemy. So for context purpose, Peter here, he's addressing believers that's been scattered who are facing persecution. And what he's urging them is you must stay vigilant here. And oftentimes when we think of persecution, we only think of people, the people who are standing against us or those people who are trying to harm us. And those things are true. But Peter doesn't want us to lose sight of who the real enemy is. And so he begins with these commands here in verse 8. He says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. a command to be of sober spirit. A more literal translation is to just simply be sober. You'll notice there is italicized in there of spirit. That wasn't in the original. They just added that. So the command is to be sober or to be sober-minded. To be sober-minded means to be well-balanced or self-disciplined. It's the opposite. To be sober, it's the opposite of being drunk. To be sober-minded is to see things for what they are. Because when you're drunk, you're out of touch with reality. The drunk man, he gets in trouble because he's not alert to measure the effects of his actions or his thoughts. So Peter is exhorting us to be in control of our minds and know what's taking place. We're not to be drunk pertaining to the dangers of sin and of Satan. So Peter says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. There's the exhortation. There's another command. First command, be sober. Second command, be alert. Be aware of all of the dangers that are around you. And the opposite of alert, just like we did with the opposite of sober is drunk, the opposite of alert is sleep. So he's saying, don't be sleepy. Think about a watchman on a wall. He's supposed to be up there on the wall to watch out for any dangers that may be coming and so that he can warn the people. But the worst thing a watchman can do is be asleep. Because if he's asleep, he'll never see the danger coming. So Peter says, be of sober spirit. He gives the commands before he even gives the threat. I need you to be alert. Be watchful, be vigilant, be awake. The idea here is that you are not to be sleepy in your thinking. The one who's asleep, he's unaware of the dangers around him. And the irony of this is there's a claim in our world today that our culture is more woke today. When in reality, the culture is not more woke today. This culture is more deceived than ever today. You remember what took place in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus called three disciples off with him, and he senses there's great danger about, and he tells those disciples, he says to them, he says, my soul is deeply grieved. He says, to the point of death, I want you to remain here. Keep watch with me. But y'all know what happened, what the disciples did? They went to sleep. And Jesus had to go back to them a few more times and say, keep watch with me. Because they were asleep. They were unaware of the dangers that were about, that there was a mob. People were gathering clubs. They were coming to arrest Jesus. Peter says here, be on alert. Be spiritually alert to the enemy's strategy. And he recognizes that there is something in about knowing the danger that helps you be alert. So he goes on to tell us now, here's the threat. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So he identifies the threat. Your adversary. Satan is identified here as a real adversary. Other places in scripture, he's the accuser. He's the deceiver. He's the father of lies. He's the serpent in the garden, the crafty and subtle serpent. That's our adversary, the devil. And it says he prowls around like a roaring lion, a depiction of this dangerous wild animal. And I'm afraid that many of us don't take this threat serious enough today. because it's hard for many of us to appreciate the imagery here because we can't really relate to it because we don't really face the dangers of a lion walking the street. You know, I go out and I cut grass a lot. I go out in the backyard and cut my backyard. I'm not worried about a lion jumping out of the woods and jumping on me. And so we don't think about it. But these people during this time would have been more of a real threat that could happen. And so he says, and just for us, let me help us get this for a minute. Imagine now, because, you know, our lions, they're in zoos and, you know, they're in cages and stuff. But imagine you're at the zoo. And then all of a sudden over the intercom, it comes, attention, attention. The lion is on the loose. Now I wonder how alert would we be? No, we'd be running to the car, right? Alert is an understatement, right? But let's just say for the sake of art, just imagine though. Let's just go with me for a moment. Right here in Newton County, if whether they do it by our phones, you know, they send out the mass alert or whatever, that a lion is loose in Newton County. I wonder how alert would you be just to go out of your door. I can tell you now, my wife ain't going outside. She not going. I don't care what we got to get, what we got to do. You going out there. I'm not going out there. But seriously speaking, though, if we think about it, though, this is what Peter does here at the end of the verse. He gives this graphic illustration here to demonstrate what the danger that is about out here. He says your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And when it says that our enemy wants to devour us here, it means that he is hungry and he is seeking someone to devour, to utterly destroy. In the book of Job, God asked Satan, where are you coming from? And he says, I've been roaming the earth, going up and down in it, to and fro in all the earth, walking around in it. And so Satan's scheme back then in Job's time is the same scheme in Peter's time. It's the same scheme in our time. Like a lion, he's roaming the earth looking for someone to devour. The Amplified Bible says he's fiercely hungry. And I believe Peter is the right person to teach us about this right here, because he understands something about being on Satan's radar. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, told Peter, Satan has specifically asked to sift you like wheat. In our Bible study, we're going through the book of Matthew. We noted that when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Peter stands up. He's the bold one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only moments later, when Jesus says, I got to go be turned over to the hands of men and I'm going to be killed and raised up, Peter says, I don't like that idea. And what does Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Calls Peter Satan in that moment, recognizing that he was being influenced by the adversary. The same Peter that's writing to us right now says, you got to be alert. You got to be sober-minded. Because there's a real enemy. People don't like to believe that the devil is real. But the scriptures teach us otherwise. To devour again is to utterly destroy. And yes, I believe you should believe that he wants to destroy you. And sometimes we equate that to death, physical death. And I'm sure he wants us dead. But I believe our enemy destroys us in many other ways. Certainly, if he can kill you, he'll take that as well. But he destroys us in that he'll do whatever he can to keep us from the things of God. I was talking to a brother this week. He says he believes that this verse is speaking to how Satan wants to displace us or take us out of position so that we're not in a place to receive from God all that he has for us and for us to do. That Satan uses the roar, if you will, of bad news and sickness and financial pressure and overall lies so that we're not in tune with the things of God. I want to note some things that I was privy to or to this week recently that I believe serves as some examples that I don't believe many people recognize. It's the enemy's attack at play. I believe part of the way, and this is not exhaustive, I'm just giving you some examples because I don't believe people recognize this. I believe part of the way he devours us is to attack God's structure. And what I mean by structure, we learn from the very beginning that God created man and woman. So it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he created him a woman. He created family there. And yet there's an attack right there that now we believe as Christians that in our doctrine of faith, this was the institution of marriage. Man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. We believe that's the institution of marriage, and that was God's purpose and design. And yet there's an attack on that today because he's attacking the structure of God. Man was supposed to be the head of the family, but when they sin in the garden, God tells Eve, your desire will be for your husband, but he'll rule over you. There was going to be a power struggle in the structure. Today you have children that won't be obedient to their parents. Parents are supposed to have authority over their children, yet children are disobedient. He is devouring us by destroying the structure that God had aligned for us. We have our youth that are being attacked today, not only about their genders, but their sexual orientations, because God, he wants to devour what God has made as good. And we've got to be very, very careful. Peter says, this adversary is real. And if it's a fiercely hungry lion, if you can imagine physically, if that lion is hungry and he's roaming around, he's looking for food. He says, that's what your enemy is like. He wants to destroy you in any way that he can. But Peter goes on to let us know that we can be victorious over this enemy. Look at verse 9 here. It says, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And resist here is actually another command here. Resist him. Active resistance is necessary for you to stand firm against the devil. Now, notice what he doesn't say here. He doesn't say rebuke him. He doesn't say put him under your feet. He says resist him. Now, how in the world am I supposed to resist this supernatural lion, if you will? The devil is a supernatural angelic being who's fallen. He's evil. He's a murderous liar. And Jude even says that Michael the archangel, when he was disputing with the devil about Moses' body, even Michael didn't dare to condemn him for slander. But Michael, as powerful as he was, equal to Lucifer, says, no, the Lord rebuke you. So if Michael is careful in dealing with this adversary, how in the world are we who are lesser in power going to resist him? Peter says, I'm not telling you to go on the hunt for the lion. Because, you know, you got preachers that stand up here telling y'all that. You go take the battle to the devil. Don't you do that. That's not what the scripture instructs us to do. No, what you're getting ready to see here, Peter actually is telling us that we take the defensive posture when it comes to Satan here. You resist him. Resist him is a military term here. It describes holding a position. Now, I almost called you, Tucker, about this because I don't know about how the armed forces are today, but back then when you had the armies of a certain nation or whatnot, they would stand shoulder to shoulder. You would see this in movies. They would stand shoulder to shoulder with shields, and the enemy could be coming at them. You'd be like, why they ain't fighting? Why they ain't fighting? They just standing there because they're making this resistance. Their attack, their first order is to resist the attack. It's kind of like a modern day thing would be more like what you see with riots. You see the riot police out there with shields and they standing there and they get shoulder to shoulder because people are coming. They're there to resist. Their command is not to go attack the people. No, you resist. And that's what he's saying here. Resist. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Peter says, here's how you do this resistance. You must be firm in your faith. It means to stand firm in your faith. And in order to stand firm in your faith, you must be firm in what the Word of God says. Remember now, if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, now I just asked the question, how can we possibly resist someone who we're lesser in strength than he is? Well, if I'm standing firm in my faith, the Word of God tells me greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I stand on that. But you can't be firm in your faith apart from knowing what the Word says. So what the adversary is actively doing, the way he destroys or devours us, is he tries to destroy strong faith. And a lot of times, yes, he does that through persecution. But other times he's more cunning and crafty, and he does it through the means of the world. I was telling a brother this week, I was sharing with him how, especially with our young people, they don't see how the enemy does this by trying to create a fake worldview through the music and through the celebrities and through movies and those types of things. The music is saying one thing, that this is okay and that's okay and this is okay and that's okay, when the Word of God says something different. And he's devouring them because he recognizes, if I can get this generation, then there's almost no hope for the next generation. But you got to resist him. How do you do that? You stand firm in your faith. How can you stand firm in your faith? You have to know what the Word of God says. Satan is roaming the earth trying to seek someone he can devour. He tried to devour Job, but God was faithful in not allowing Satan to devour Job. Peter is telling us, be like Job. No matter what the enemy was using, the whispers of his friends, even his own wife, Job was like, no, God is righteous. I will not curse him and die. I don't understand what I'm going through, but I know God doesn't make a mistake. Amen. So we have this command. In back-to-back weeks, we're recognizing that we have all of these things coming at us. We got sin crouching at the door. We got the world. We got the flesh itself we're battling with daily. And Peter says, don't forget, there's your real adversary, Satan. He's roaming around roaring. He's hungry. He wants to devour you. But victory comes through our trusting in God's word and God's power, not personal strength. And get this, your adversary is not people. You have to know that. Now, the adversary may influence and use people, but you have to recognize. That's why I quoted Ephesians for you, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Is wicked, spiritual, evil forces in the heavenlies. And not only that, it's interesting to note that what Peter is counseling us here right now is the same as Paul. Paul just says it another way. In the same chapter where he talks about or warning us that we're battling against these evil forces, he says you got to put on the whole armor of God. And when he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, guess what he says? The same thing he says here in terms of firming your faith. He says that so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. But we got to understand, though, Paul would later write, or earlier rather, and write to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, that our weapons in our warfare, they are not carnal. carnal, right? But they're not of this world, but they're so mighty through God, it's what pulls down the strongholds. We don't go out looking for a fight against the devil, but what we do have is very, very powerful. The Apostle Paul, he's emphasizing that our struggles, if you're the struggles of our faith, they're spiritual and they require spiritual weapons rather than this physical force or even human wisdom. Our spiritual weapons, and this is why you got how you stand firm in your faith, your weapons is prayer in the Word of God. Those are the things that Paul will go on to say. That's what casts down those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the word or the knowledge of God. So we acknowledge, or rather we stand firm in our faith by acknowledging God through prayer. That shows our dependency upon him, knowing that what God says or what his word says, and we trust in that completely. I have to believe, as he's writing to these believers and he's talking to them because they're going through extreme persecution, you have to know that the word of God says that I'm working it for your good, for those who love me and are called according to my purpose. You have to know that. You have to believe that. And if you use the Job scenario and bring that beside that, on the surface of it, it looked like nothing good coming out of this, God. And yet something very good was coming out of it. But we got to wait to see the hand of God in these things. And more times than not, it's not going to be in the way that you think. So you don't fight for the victory. The word of God tells us that the victory is already in Christ Jesus. So standing firm means I lean completely on God's character and what he has said. Now, notice what Peter says right here at the end. He says the battle is not unique. Look at the second half of the verse there. He says, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And so with these words, Peter is saying that the suffering that you are enduring, it isn't any different. The attacks that you are facing isn't any different than what many are experiencing or have experienced. And so, and what I really get encouraged by is it lets me know I'm not alone in the battle. I'm not alone in the battle. We're fighting this fight together. Even when our suffering, we're not alone. And you need to understand this before you leave out of here today. Suffering is a natural part of Christianity. Don't believe the lie. Coming to Christ, everything's going to be good. Now, there's a future truth to that. But in the meantime, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Amen. And I'm telling you, he even says, I'm telling you now before it happens. And I'm telling you now so that you would trust in me. Our call, or our charge, if you will, our exhortation for today is, wake up from a spiritual slumber. Be alert. There's a real enemy who wants to keep us from the things of God. He doesn't want us to serve God with our whole hearts. He doesn't want us to receive from God all that God has for us. He wants to do everything. Yes, he knows his fate. He knows what the word of God says. But in the meantime, he wants to devour as many as he can. And I'm afraid our lack of knowledge of God through learning the word of God, we're only enabling him all the more to take so many. I'll even say my opinion, our young people are suffering greatly. Are suffering greatly because of this. Not having a knowledge of what the word of God says. You don't know how encouraged my heart was just when I heard Tucker say last week, hey, we're slowing down for VBS. He says, we're slowing down because we want to make sure that we're teaching the children, making sure they understand the word of God. Because too many times in VBS, it's all about the fun. And I'm all for fun. And I think you do need to be creative and make it fun for kids, but not at the expense of the truth. Because the truth is what will set them free. So we've been encouraged today. And I want you to walk out of this building today as an active soldier, not some casual spectator, because Peter says you got to be sober and you need to be on alert. And the only way you're going to be able to resist the devil, make no doubt about it, he's going to attack. He's hungry. But you have to resist him by standing firm in your faith, knowing what the Word of God says and trusting that. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Word. It equips us and it reminds us to be sober and vigilant. God, and I just acknowledge now that what the Word says, actually, that the devil, he's roaming like a roaring lion, God. But we pray, God, that you'll just grant us a spirit of watchfulness so that we can remain alert to his attacks, God. And I just pray that you'll give us courage and strength today to resist him, to stand firm in the faith that you've called us to. And please, God, help those under the sound of my voice. When the trials of this life begin to just weigh so heavy, God, remind them that they are not alone in these sufferings, God. That our brothers and sisters worldwide, they share in these same hardships. And that the same application is for all, God. That we are to guard our minds and protect our hearts, God, by trusting in you and trusting in your Word. So, God, I pray now that we be found faithful with what we've heard in this place. The call to be active soldiers, God, watching and on alert. And I pray, God, your peace that surpasses all understanding will keep us all steadfast. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity. If you would. If you're willing, if it's in your heart to do so, give you an opportunity to come forward on today. It's going to be hard for you to see it if you're not in the Word. But if you're in the Word, you'll see just how much damage this roaring lion, this spiritual roaring lion, is causing in the world today. It's right there in your face on television when you're watching the news. It's right there on your social media post. It may even be right in your home. I've seen it in mine. Don't speculate what that means. I'm just telling you, he's attacking. And you are not so good that he don't want to taste you. Or so bad, rather. But I want to give you an opportunity. You can come to my left or your right. The Word of God has resonated in any form or any way that you want to speak to God and him alone. Or you can come to my right, your left. I do have those who will come forward and pray for you. They're up here already ready to receive you if you want desire for somebody to pray with you or for you. But for those who are able, please stand with me. Let's give them an opportunity. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It feels like the devil is just, he's staying at your door. But I hope you've been encouraged, because God says you can be victorious in this. Just like he told Cain, you got to master it. We got to see there's that. Now again, God is the one that gets the glory in all of this. But I do want us to note, though, there is a human responsibility in here. Just as he told Cain, you must master it. You can't just give in to those desires. He's giving you the Holy Spirit so that you can be, to us who believe, that so that we can now have power over that temptation or whatever that challenge is. So it is, we can resist the devil. Won't you come? pray silently, let me at least say this in the hearing of others. Apart from Jesus Christ, you're doomed. Sin is your master. And I would, if I could give an example, using that roaring lion, apart from Jesus Christ, you know how when you watch those shows and the parent leaves the little calf or whatever, so that calf is defenseless against that lion, there's nothing it can do. That's what you're like apart from Jesus Christ. There is no hope. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Who will set me free from this body of death?" He says, "Thanks be to God, it's through Jesus Christ." It is his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the grave. He made a spectacle of death, sin and death, by triumphing over them, by being raised from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And he says, you can have that new life in him if you would but confess your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. I was talking to one of my brothers this week. He doesn't know it. I was kind of laughing at him on the phone, but he was being serious. He says he just walk into rooms and just say, Jesus is God. He wants them to know. He don't wait for the conversation. He initiates it. Know what's going on over here. You can still be praying in agreement that God's will be done. Thank you. be seated. Thank you again for your presence on today. I pray that you'll go back and look at this again for yourself and just consider. Not just, you really don't have anything to worry about in the sense of being destroyed by this devourer. But you do have to take heed that he's coming. And you need to be equipped. You need to be ready. It's not an if, it's a matter of when. And so God is preparing us. Some of us already, we're already in the midst of it. Some of us, the attack is on the way, but he's preparing us. He's saying, be sober and on alert. And so I thank you again for all those who come. We weren't online, so I'm going to ask you, as they send out the text message, forward the message to others. We don't know how God may move in that, so forward it to others. Let them know you can go on the website. If you didn't catch all of it, or if you want to go back and listen again, you can go on the website. It's always there. But I'm grateful. If you guys only knew how relevant this is to me right now. And so I thank God for his word. It gives you strength. It encourages you. And it gives you direction. Let me pray for us one last time. Again, for those who are willing, we do need volunteers to stay after today, trying to get final preparations for VBS. Particularly, not saying there aren't some strong women in here, but because there are men here, men, particularly you, because they got some stuff they said that was heavy, and even if there are strong women in here, men, why not you? So, I got to be careful. Well, let me pray for us one last time, and I hope some of you will stay around and volunteer and help us out here. Father, we come again, and we're just grateful again for your word on today, God. Thank you so much for how you continue to hear us, God, and continue to give us direction, God, that your word that's relevant for us right now. Thank you, your word just equips us in every way, God. And so, again, I just pray for the people, God, that you would, again, give them courage and strength to resist this week and in the days to come. For those who are already doing battle, God, may they be able to look to their left and right and see that they are brothers and sisters standing shoulder to shoulder with them, not for gossip, not for to see their failure, but to stand there with them, God, in your name, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, God. So please, Father, as the people leave this place, your grace and your favor upon them as they go. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.